All right, now we're going to talk about a very important subject. That's sleep and getting quality sleep and what happens when you can't sleep when you want or need to or get tired during the day. Are there solutions? Well, Jennifer is here with Vanda Pharmaceuticals to talk about that.
Okay, thank you so much. Hello, everyone. My name again is Jennifer Lyman, and I'm a nurse educator for a company called Vanda Pharmaceuticals. Thank you so much for inviting me to participate in the convention. I'm so pleased to be here. For all the note takers out there, I will be giving you my phone number at the conclusion of this brief little presentation. And if anyone has questions, I'm happy to take those at the end as well. Vanda has enjoyed a very long and enduring partnership with the NFB, and we deeply appreciate our relationship with you. And I mean that really from the bottom of my heart. Vanda is a biopharmaceutical company that conducts research on a rare condition called non-24 sleep-wake disorder. I'm sure many of you have heard of it. And what I do is I go out into what they call the field to meet with groups to really explain the cause of this disorder. So being with you at this event gives me a wonderful opportunity to raise awareness of non-24 because it's considered a rare disorder with low awareness, not only in the community, but also among HCPs. So I'll ask you just to indulge me for a few minutes while I share a few facts about non-24 that hopefully will intrigue you enough to want to learn more. And one of those facts is up to 70% of people who are totally blind may suffer from this condition called non-24 and not even know it. Many people who have heard about non-24 think that they think that it only affects people who are totally blind, when in fact non-24 can affect people with low vision and even some people who are fully sighted. So non-24 can cause problems for people in falling asleep at night, staying asleep at night, and having lots of daytime sleepiness. Those are the three main symptoms. People may have only one symptom or all of them, and they can range from mild to severe. People who have non-24 also describe waking up feeling groggy, like they're not well rested. While the symptoms might make it sound like a sleep disorder, it's not. I often hear people describe non-24 as a sleep disorder. So one of the things I do when I go out to meet with groups is explain the difference between non-24 and some common sleep disorders. It's actually classified as a circadian rhythm disorder, and it occurs when our internal sleep-wake rhythm gets misaligned with the 24-hour daytime-nighttime cycles. And that's what causes the symptoms. So that fact alone often leads to misdiagnosis and a lack of understanding of the condition. Many people with non-24 will tell you that they experienced their first symptoms around the time that they lost their sight. However, sleep and wake struggles due to non-24 can begin at any age and not necessarily at the age when you lost your sight. If you know someone who has a sleep schedule that's different from most people, that person could have non-24. So as a nurse educator, I have two main goals. First, when I go out to meet with people, whether it's virtually like this or actually face-to-face, my first goal is to teach people the facts of non-24, and then they'll know how to recognize it in themselves or someone else. And then second, it's to let people know where they can go for help if they want it or they need it. So to bring attention to all of the facts of non-24 is important. I provide educational presentations by connecting at all levels within your organization, for instance, at the local level, the state level, and the national level. But we also go out and meet with manufacturers, rehab facilities. We meet with small local support groups and assisted living facilities where they may have a support group for the visually impaired. So we really try to meet with as many people as we can who do have vision impairment to raise awareness of this disorder. So I encourage you to advocate for yourself and for others by scheduling a live program with me, either virtually or in person. Those live programs will give you and your guests a chance to learn about a disorder that has a relatively high prevalence and low awareness in the blind community and among healthcare providers, like I said. So if you're ready to do that or you have some questions for me, I'm happy to take them now, but I told you I'd give you my phone number, so I'll do that now. My telephone number is area code 202-875-4714. And my email address is my name, JENNIFER.Lyman@vandapharma.com. So does anyone have any questions for me?
Any questions, raise your hand on the computer on Y, double tap, or on the iPhone, go to the More button, bottom right, tap on More, and tap on the raise hand button on the phone, *9. Okay, we have a question from Ron Brown.
Hi, Ron.
Hi, Jennifer. Hi, this is Ron Brown, state president here in Indiana. I was curious to know that if you diagnose a person with a circadian rhythm disorder, do you fix that through medication? Do you fix that through, psychological, profiles or how do you fix that? I mean, how can you fix a circadian rhythm if a person loses their sight and their body clock, if you will, gets off?
Yeah, that's a really good question. I can't talk about any products or treatments, but there are treatments out there. So if you know anyone, Ron, who would need additional help, I could connect you or that person to someone within our organization called a health educator. They are able to talk about the ongoing research. They can talk about treatments. And they can help actually give information to someone who wants to start a conversation with their healthcare provider, because there is low awareness among healthcare providers. Those health educators can send resources out so that whoever is going in to talk to a nurse practitioner or a doctor will feel that they have enough information to have a dialogue with that person. We typically recommend that if someone does want to start that conversation with a healthcare provider, that we get resources out to that healthcare provider too, since awareness is low among that group as well, so that both sides have resources and information when you actually have a conversation about it. And there are other things that the health educator can help someone with as far as like starting a sleep journal or things like that. So that's probably a very long-winded answer to your question, but that's what we do.
Thank you so much. Thank you.
You're welcome.
Jennifer, can you talk about some things, environmental things that might help? Because like lighting or food or beverage before bedtime or exercise or things that people should do or maybe not do or do differently that might help.
Yeah, that's a great point too. So what you're talking about actually falls into a bucket called sleep hygiene. And some healthcare providers, when they meet with a patient, may actually want to explore improving someone's sleep hygiene. So if you Google that, you will find hundreds, if not thousands, of tips to help you get prepared for better sleep. And, there are lots of tips and tricks. A lot of has been written lately on the use of electronics before people go to bed and how that can affect your sleep. That may not necessarily disrupt your circadian rhythm, but it does fall into that bucket of good sleep hygiene. So if anyone wants to Google that, you'll find some really good resources out there and some good things that you can start trying right away tonight if you wanted to.
Yeah, I was told you should make sure you have no caffeine at least 5 hours before you want to go to bed. It's probably also something worth researching, right?
Yeah, exactly. Yeah, so diet, exercise, and the things that you do before you get ready for sleep really can impact it. You know, when the circadian rhythm gets out of sync, it really relies on the dimming of lights, and that sends a signal to the brain that sends a signal to the body, hey, we're getting ready for sleep here. So anything that you can do to slow it down before you get to bed will probably help.
Okay, Yolanda has raised your hand. You want to try to unmute and speak? Okay, she's having a challenge there getting unmuted, but...
Can you hear me now?
Yes. Go ahead with the question.
Okay. My question is, I have been told that if your circadian rhythm is off, that sunlight will help reset it. Is that true or false?
It depends. So your circadian rhythm depends. So light is the cue for our circadian rhythms to reset every day. So for people who don't have non-24, our reset comes every day when the sun comes up and the lights go on in your house. And, you know, conversely, that signal gets sent to the brain too through the eyes when the sun goes down and you're turning lights off in the house. So light treatment may work for some. But non-24 really has to do with the light signal coming into the eyes and sending a signal through the optic nerve to the brain. So if there's any kind of disruption there, the brain's not getting the signal it needs in order to reset every day that circadian rhythm. We all have a very unique circadian rhythm. It's almost like a fingerprint. So, you know, mine might run 24 hours and 5 minutes. Maybe yours runs 24 hours and 30 minutes. If we don't get rid of or erase those extra minutes every day, then they stack up and that pushes you out of sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles. And that's what happens to people with non-24. So light therapy may help some people sync up their circadian rhythms. That's actually one of the things that there are other circadian rhythm disorders, one of which being jet lag. So when people travel across many time zones, their body is now out of sync with the daytime, nighttime cycles of their destination. But eventually your body, if you do not have non-24, eventually your body catches up with that once you've gone through some daytime, nighttime cycles at your destination. Most people do eventually get acclimated to that. Does that answer your question, Yolanda?
Yes, it does. But now I have another question, though.
Okay.
Listen, I'm totally blind and I usually don't turn lights on because I don't need the light.
Right.
So if I think I'm suffering from that, would possibly just turn in the lights on when I get up in the morning, that would possibly help?
That's a question you would want to ask your doctor. You can try it. Have you ever tried going through cycles of turning lights on during the day?
No.
Okay. So if you're not sleeping well at night because you are totally blind, you can try that. But I suspect that because you are totally blind, these specialized cells in your retina called the ganglion cells are not going to be able to capture that light and send the signal to the brain. And without that signal, your circadian rhythm can't get reset. There are some blind people who are totally blind who don't suffer from non-24. And researchers aren't 100% sure they understand the reason for that. They suspect that some totally blind people have a circadian rhythm that is so closely aligned to 24 hours. So maybe your circadian rhythm is 24 hours exactly or 24 hours in 1 minute. That 1 minute doesn't really put you out of sync too much. At least it's not noticeable. So, I don't know. I would defer to your healthcare provider to give you an answer on that, but I mean it wouldn't hurt to try it, I guess.
Okay, thank you.
You're welcome.
Kimberly, you have a question?
Yes, I do again. Good afternoon.
Hi.
I was just wondering if the TV, the television has anything to do with what we're talking about here, or something like I'm visually impaired. But I have to sleep with my TV on. Is that falling into the same category? Or even if I can't sleep without the TV on, I mean, there's like a little buzz in my ear or whatnot. So it's like too quiet for me. Does this fall in the category of what we're talking about here?
The TV and computers and smartphones give off a certain type of light that's been known to disrupt sleep. I can't go into too much detail about that. But it's been well documented that the light that's given off from computers and TVs and smartphones can definitely disrupt your sleep if you're sensitive to that. So are you leaving the TV on for the sound or for the light?
The sound.
Oh, okay. If you feel like you're not getting a good night's sleep, you may want to maybe cover the screen up with a towel, you know, let it drape over the side and see if that improves your sleep. So, but that also falls into that bucket of good sleep hygiene. So you may want to look that up.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Yeah, because you could think about an audio source like a book or a podcast or music. Mm-hmm. Unless you start moving your legs to the music, and that doesn't work either. But
right. I have an app on my phone called iHeartRadio, and they have a station called Relaxing Piano Music. It's lovely to listen to before you fall asleep.
Yeah, you
can even like the sounds of the waves and stuff.
Yes, yeah. Those sound machines, yeah.
Thank you.
You're welcome.
Okay, Jennifer, you want to provide your contact information so folks can reach you to learn more?
Sure. My telephone number is area code 202-875-4714. And my email address is my name with a dot in the middle. So it's jennifer.lyman@vanda, V-A-N-D-A, pharma, pharma.com.
Well, thank you for sharing your information about your company. We also want to thank you, Vanda Pharmaceuticals, for your generous donation to the NFB of Indiana and supporting our efforts to assist the blind in the state of Indiana. Thank you very much.
Oh, thank you all so much. Enjoy the rest of the convention. Take care.